Deuteronomy 32, 46 and 47. And he said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. We have here Moses' final instructions. Verses 45 to 52 are considered to be one section, but since the greater part of verses 45 to 52 has to do with God's instructions to Moses, it's better to limit the section to verses 45 to 47. It concerns the law, source of life. Another possible title to this section is The Law Can Give Long Life. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, they were to lay to heart what he said, that is, cherish, memorize, remember, meditate on, think seriously, or always remember all the words which I enjoin upon you this day. To enjoin means to direct, order, command. It's more than to advise or recommend. In keeping with the parallel passages, take to heart all the words that I am giving in witness against you this day. Be sure to obey all these commands that I have given you. You may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law, meaning all the teachings in the book of Deuteronomy or everything written in the book of God's law. It is no trifle for you. Verse 47, it is your life. This emphasizes the seriousness of the matter. What Moses has taught the people is not something insignificant that they can take or leave. Their very existence as a people depends on their obedience to the law. The law isn't empty words. It can give you long life. Thereby, you shall live long in the land. Thereby, by the means of it, and referring to obeying the law, obeying them, these teachings, you will live. The doctrine is that Christian duty comprises the personal, internal management of hearing the word preached to their edification. We will consider that the Christian's duty and benefit lies in these four general points: that you hear with understanding, that you remember what you hear, that you be duly affected with it, and that you sincerely practice it. We continue then to the directions for understanding the word which you hear. Direction 1, read and meditate on the Holy Scriptures much in private, and then you will be better able to understand what is preached on it in public and to test the doctrine, whether it's of God. Where if you're unacquainted with the Scriptures, all that's treated of it or alleged from them will be so strange to you that you will be but little edified by it. Direction 2. Live under the clearest, distinct, convincing teaching ministry that possibly you can procure. This means you must have a grounded and faithful preacher who knows how to preach and how to apply the word of God to your soul. There is an unspeakable difference as to the edification of the hearers between a judicious, clear, distinct, and skillful preacher and one that is ignorant, confused, general, dry, and only scrapes together a mingled mangled of some undigested sayings to fill up the hour with. Ignorant teachers who don't understand what they say themselves are unlikely to make you people of scriptural understanding. And erroneous teachers are unlikely to make you orthodox and sound. Direction 3. Do not come to hear with a careless heart as if you were to hear a matter which little concerned you, but come with a sense of the unspeakable importance, necessity, and consequence of the holy word which you are to hear. And when you understand how much you are concerned in it and truly love it as the word of life, it will greatly help your understanding of every particular truth. That which a man does not love and does not perceive the importance of, he will hear with so little regard and heed that it will make no considerable impression on his mind. But a good understanding of the excellency and necessity, exciting love and serious attention, would make the particulars easy to be understood. Understanding must go before affections. But yet the understanding of importance and worth of your own souls must first procure such a serious care of your salvation and a general regard to the word of God as is needful to your further understanding of the particular instructions. Direction 4. Do not allow vain thoughts or drowsy negligence to hinder your attention. If you do not clearly hear what is taught, how should you understand and learn? Set yourselves to listening as if it was for your lives. Be as earnest and diligent in attending and learning as you would have the preacher be in teaching. If a drowsy, careless preacher is bad, then a drowsy, careless hearer is also bad. Moses says, Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you, they are your life. Deuteronomy 32, 46, and 47, as we've read. You would have God be attentive to your prayers and your distresses, so why will you not then be attentive to his words? He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Proverbs 28, 9. All the people were hanging on to every word he said. Luke 19, 48. When Ezra read the law, he read it aloud from daybreak until noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Nehemiah 8, 3. When Paul continued his Lord's Day exercise and speech until midnight, one young man that fell asleep fell down dead as a warning to those who will sleep when they should hear the message of Christ. Acts 20 and verse 9. Therefore, you are excused that day from worldly business, that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7:35. Lydia's listening to the words of Paul accompanied the opening of her heart and her conversion. Acts 16:14. Direction 5. Mark especially the design and drift and principal doctrine of the sermon, both because that is the chief thing that the preacher would have marked, and because the understanding of that will much help you to understand all the rest, which depends on it and relates to it. Direction 6. Mark most those things which are of greatest weight and concern to your own souls, and do not fix on some little sayings and by discourses or witty sentences, like children that bring home some scraps and words, which they do but play with. Direction 7. Learn first your catechisms at home, and the great essential points of religion contained in the Creed and the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments. And in your hearing, first labor to get a clearer understanding of these, and then the lesser branches which grow out of these will be better understood. You can scarcely bestow too much care and pains in learning these great essential points. It's the most fruitful of all your studies. I especially advise you to avoid feeding on dry and barren theological controversies and delighting in the chaff of jingling words and impertinent, unedifying things or discourses about formalities and circumstances and such. Direction 8. Meditate on what you hear when you come home until you better understand it. Direction 9. Inquire when you have question of those who can resolve and teach you. It shows a careless mind and a contempt of the Word of God in most people who never come to ask the resolution of one perplexity from one week's or year's end to another, though they have pastors who have ability and willingness to help them. As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking about the parables. Mark 4 and verse 10. Direction 10. Read many of those holy books which treat best of the doctrine which you would understand. Get guidance from learned pastors and theologians as to what is best to read. Direction 11. Pray earnestly for wisdom and the illumination of the Spirit. Direction 12. Suitable preaching and practicing go hand in hand. Practice what you know. This is an excellent help to understanding. Now, secondly, consider directions for remembering what you hear. You know, the lack of memory, which comes from old age and decay of nature, cannot be cured, nor should any servant of Christ be overmuch troubled at it, seeing Christ will no more cast off his servants for that than he will for old age or sickness. But for that lack of memory, which is curable and is a fault, I shall give you these following directions. direction 1. It greatly helps memory to have a full understanding of the matter spoken, which you would remember. Ignorance is one of the greatest hindrances to memory. Common experience tells you this, how easily you can remember any discourse which you thoroughly understand, and how hard it is to remember any words which are insignificant or which we do not understand. Therefore, labor most for a clear understanding according to the last direction. Direction 2. A deep, awakened affection is a very powerful help to memory. We easily remember anything which our lives depend on when trifles are neglected and soon forgotten. Direction 3. Method is a very great help to memory. Be acquainted with the preacher's method, and then you are to put into a path or tract which you cannot easily depart from. And therefore it is that ministers must be methodical. They must be as often in the use of the same message and the same method as the subject will bear, and choose that method which is most easy to the hearers to understand and remember, and labor to make them perceive your tract. Direction 4. Numbers are a great help to memory. As if the reasons, the uses, the motives, the signs, the directions are 6 or 7 or 8. When you know just the number, it helps you to remember much what was the first and the second and the third. Direction 5. Name also and signal words are a great help to memory. He may remember one word who cannot remember the whole sentence, and that one word may help him to remember much of the rest. Preachers should contrive the force of every reason, use direction and such things as much as may be into some emphatic word. And some do very profitably contrive each of these words to begin with the same letter, which is good for memory, so long as it's not too much strained. As if I would direct you to the chief helps of your salvation and should name powerful preaching, prayer, prudence, piety, painfulness, patience, and perseverance. You see, it helps to be remembered in that way. Direction 6. It is a great help to memory, often in the time of hearing, to repeat to yourselves the heads that have been spoken. The mind of man can do two things at once. You may both hear what is said and recall and repeat to yourselves what has passed. Not to stand long upon it, but often quickly to name them over. The reasons, the uses, the motives, and such things. To me, this has been, next to understanding and affection, the greatest help of any that I have used. For otherwise, to hear a head but once, and think of it no more until the sermon is done, would never serve me to remember it. Direction 7. Do not grasp at more than you're able to hold, lest by it you lose everything. If there are some more particulars than you could possibly remember, lay hold on some which most concern you, and let go the rest. Perhaps another may take up those which you leave behind. Yet do not say that it's the preacher's fault to name more than you can carry away, for then he must leave out his enlargement much more, and the most of his sermon, for it is likely you leave most of it behind. Another may remember more than you. All is not lost when the words are forgotten, for it may breed a habit of understanding and promote resolution and affection and practice. Direction 8. Writing is an easy help for memory to those who can use it. Some question whether they should use it because it hinders their affection. Direction 9. Peruse what you remember or write down when you come home and fix it speedily in your mind before it's lost. Pray it over and confer about it with others who have heard the sermon. Direction 10. If you forget the very words, yet remember the main drift of it all, and get those resolutions and affections which they drive at. And then you haven't lost the sermon, though you might have lost the words, and he has not lost his food that has digested it and turned it into flesh and blood. I give you now, thirdly, directions for holy resolutions and affections in hearing. The understanding and memory are but a passage to the heart, and the practice is but the expression of the heart. Therefore, how to work on the heart is the principal business. Direction 1. Live under the most convincing, lively, serious preacher that you possibly can. It is a matter of great concern to all, but especially to dull and senseless hearts. Do not hear those who tell you because God can bless the weakest and because it's your own fault if you don't profit by the weakest, that therefore you should make no difference, but sit down under an ignorant, dumb, or senseless man, terrible. Direction 2. Remember that ministers are the messengers of Christ and come to you on his business and in his name. Hear them, therefore, as his officers and as men who have more to do with God himself than with the speaker. It is the phrase of the Holy Spirit in Hebrews 4:13, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It is God with whom you have to do, and therefore, accordingly, behave yourselves. Direction 3. Remember that this God is instructing you and warning you and dealing with you about no less than the saving of your souls. Come therefore to hear as for your salvation. Can that heart be dull that well considers that it is heaven and hell which is the matter that God is dealing with him about? Direction 4. Remember that you have but a little time to hear in, and you do not know whether you shall ever hear again. Hear therefore as if it was your last sermon. Think when your heart that it hears the call of God. Think in your heart that when it hears the offers of grace, say to yourself, I know not, but this may be my last sermon. How would I hear if I were sure to die tomorrow? I'm sure it will be before long, and it may be today, for all I know. Direction 5. Remember that all these days and sermons must be reviewed, and you must answer for all that you've heard, whether you've heard it with love, or with unwillingness, or weariness, with diligent attention, or with carelessness. And the word which you hear shall judge you at the last day. Hear as those that are going to judgment to give an account of their hearing and obeying. Direction 6. Make it your work with diligence to apply the word as you're hearing it, and to work your own hearts to those suitable resolutions and affections which it speaks. You've work to do, as well as the preacher, and should all the while be busy just like he is. You must open your mouths and digest it, for another can't digest it for you, nor can the holiest, wisest, powerful preacher convert or save you, nor deliver people from sin and hell who will not stir for their own deliverance. Therefore, be all the while at work, and abhor an idle heart in hearing, as well as an idle minister. Direction 7. Chew the cud, like the cow, and call up all when you come home in secret, and by meditation, preach it over to yourselves. If it were coldly delivered by the preacher, then consider the great weight of the matter, and preach it more earnestly over in your own mind and in your own heart. You should love yourselves best and be best acquainted with your own condition and its necessities. Direction 8. Pray it over all to God, and there lament a stupid heart, and put up your complaints to heaven against it. The name and presence of God has a quickening and awakening power. Direction 9. Go to Christ by faith for the quickening of his spirit. Your life is hidden him, your root and head. And from him all must be conveyed. He who has the Son has life, and because he lives, we shall live also. Entreat him to open your hearts and speak to you by his Spirit, that you may be taught of God, and your hearts may be his epistles, and the tables where the everlasting laws are written. Lastly, direction 10. Make conscience of teaching and encouraging others. Pity the souls of the ignorant around you. God often blesses the grace that is most improved in doing him service, and our stock is like the woman's oil, which increased as long as she poured it out and was gone when she stopped. 1 Kings 17. Doing good is the best way for receiving good. He who in pity to a poor man that is almost starved will but fall to rubbing him shall get himself heat, and both be gainers. I'd like to apply all of this to you, and so I tell you, practice what you hear. I want to give you some directions to bring what you hear into practice. And without this, the rest of what I've spoken about is vain or counterfeit. Therefore, something must be said to this. The first direction: be acquainted with the failings of your hearts and lives and come on purpose to get directions and help against those particular failings. You will not know what medicine you need, much less how to use it, if you don't know what ails you. Know what duties you omit or carelessly perform, and know what sins you are most guilty of, and think, when you go to church, I go to Christ for remedy for my own disease. I hope to hear something before I come back, which may help me more against this sin and fit me better for my duty or provoke me more effectually. Are those men likely to practice Christ's directions who either don't know the disease or love it and don't want it to be cured? Direction two. The three aforementioned are still presupposed, namely, that the word have first done its part in your understanding, memory, and hearts. For that word cannot be practiced which is not understood, nor at all remembered, nor has procured resolutions and affections. It is the due work on the heart which must prevail for the reformation of the life. Direction three. When you understand what it is in point of practice which the preacher drives at, observe especially the uses and the moving reasons and plead them with your own hearts, and let conscience be preaching over all that the minister preaches to you. Take them to be soul murderers who silence able, faithful preachers, and also those preachers who silence themselves and do not feed the flock committed to their care. Do you think it a small matter to silence your own conscience, which must be the preacher that must set home all of this to you before it can come to resolution or practice? Keep conscience all the while at the work, preaching over all that to your hearts, which you hear with your ears, and urge yourselves to a speedy resolution. Remember that the whole body of divinity is practical in its end and tendency, and therefore do not be a mere notional hearer. Consider every word you hear, what practice it is that it tends to, and place that deepest in your memory. If you forget all the words, the reasons, and motives which you hear, be sure to remember what practice they were brought to urge you to, as if you heard a sermon against uncharitableness, censoriousness, or hurting others. Though you should forget all the reasons and motives in particular, yet still remember that you were convinced in hearing that censorious and hurtful uncharitableness is a great sin, and that you heard reason enough to make you resolve to obey the scripture. And let conscience preach out the sermon to the end, and don't let it die just in bare conviction, but resolve and be past wavering before you stir. And above all the sermon, remember the directions and helps for practice with which the truth method usually shuts up the sermon. Direction four. When you come home, let conscience in secret also repeat the sermon to you. Between God and yourselves, consider what there was delivered up to you in the Lord's message that your souls were most concerned in, what sin reproved which you are guilty of, what duty pressed which you omit. And there, meditate seriously on the weight and reasons of it, and don't resist the light, but yet bring everything to a fixed resolution. If until then you are unresolved, don't ensnare yourselves with dangerous vows about things doubtful or peremptory vows without dependence on Christ for strength, but firmly resolve and cautiously engage yourselves to duty, not with carnal evasions and reservations, but with humble dependence upon divine grace, without which of yourselves you are able to do nothing. The fifth direction. Hear the most practical preachers you can hear. Not those that have the finest notions or the cleverest style or words, but those that are still urging you to holiness of heart and life and driving home every truth to practice. Direction six. Take heed especially of two sorts of false teachers: antinomian libertines and antinomian Pharisees. The first would build their sins on Christ, not pleading for sin itself, but taking down many of the chief helps against it, and disarming us of the weapons by which it should be destroyed, and reproaching the true preachers of obedience as legalists, who preach up works and call men to doing things when they preach up obedience to Christ the King on terms and motives which are used by Christ himself and his apostles. Not understanding aright the true doctrine of faith in Christ and justification and free grace, they pervert it. They make it an enemy to the kingly office of Christ and to sanctification and the necessary duties of obedience. The other sort, antinomian Pharisees, make void the commandments of God by their traditions, and instead of the holy practice of the laws of Christ, they would drive the world with fire and sword to practice all their superstitious fopperies, so that the few plain and necessary precepts of the law of the universal King are drowned in the greater body of their man-made laws, and the ceremonies of, for example, the popes imposing are so many in comparison to the institutions of Christ that worship God. The work of Christianity is corrupted by it and made as a different thing. Direction 7. Associate yourselves with the most holy, serious, practical Christians. Not with the ungodly. Not with barren opinionists that talk of nothing but their controversies in the way of interest in their sects, which they call the church. Nor with outside, formal, ceremonious Pharisees who are pleading for the washing of cups and tithing of mint and the tradition of their fathers, while they hate and persecute Christ and his disciples. But walk with the most holy and blameless and charitable who live upon the truth which others talk of, and are seeking to please God by the wisdom which is first pure and then peaceable and gentle. James 3:17-18. When others are contending for their several sects or seeking to please Christ by killing him or censuring him or slandering him in their servants. No, go with those who are most holy. The 8th direction. Keep a just account of your practice. Examine yourselves at the end of every day and week, how you've spent your time and practiced what you were taught, and judge yourselves before God according as you find it. Yes, you must call yourselves to account every hour what you are doing and how you do it, whether you are doing God's work or not. And your hearts must be watched and followed like unfaithful servants and like loitering scholars and driven on to every duty like a dull or tried horse. Direction 9. Above all, set your hearts to the deepest contemplations of the wonderful love of God in Christ, and the sweetness and excellency of a holy life, and the certain incomprehensible glory which it tends to, that your souls may be in love with your dear Redeemer and all that is holy, and love and obedience may be as natural to you as ever. And then the practice of holy doctrine will be easy to you when it is your delight. Direction 10. Take need that you don't receive ungrounded or unnecessary prejudices against the preacher. You have to take heed in this, for that will turn away your heart and lock it up against his doctrine. And therefore abhor the spirit of uncharitableness, cruelty, and faction, which always bends to the suppressing or vilifying and disgracing all those who are not of their way or of their interest. And don't be so blind as not to observe that the very design of the devil in raising up divisions among Christians is that he may use the tongues or hands of one another to vilify them all, and to make them odious to one another, and to disable one another from hindering his kingdom and doing any considerable service to Christ. So that when a minister of Christ should be winning souls, either he is forbidden or he is despised, and the hearers are saying, "Oh, he is such or such a one, according to the names of reproach which the enemy of Christ and love have taught them." And so I've given you these 10 practical directions. Follow them for your profit. Amen.